I'd like to call to order the January 26th meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. To get us started tonight, I'd like to ask Mr. David Bryant, principal of Oak Ridge High School, to introduce our guest for this evening.
Thank you. Yes, under direction of Doug Phillips, we have a quartet from the orchestra. Megan Peters, Stephanie Paul, Mary Catherine Thompson, and Pam Wyatt.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies, thank you for bringing your musical talents. If you'd like to stay, we can probably take some interludes between the business tonight that would probably help us get through this agenda. If you'd like to do that, if not, thank you very much. Great, Mr. Phillips, thank you for having them here, and thank you for the job that you do with our students at Oak Ridge High School. And ladies, thank you again. Next item is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, under special reports and presentations, is our segment called Good News. Mr. Eby.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my good news comes from Jefferson Middle School, where several middle school students had their artwork selected to be included in the 9th Annual East Tennessee Regional Student Art Exhibition at Knoxville Museum of Art. And among those taking top honors was Jefferson Middle School student Hannah Wan, who won Best in Show in the middle school division. And for that, she received a cash award from the Knoxville Museum of Art, and her print will be traveled to Belmont University this summer to represent East Tennessee in the Best of the Best Student Art Exhibition Awards. And that's our good news.
Ms. Eagle.
My good news for this evening comes from Robertsville Middle School. The Robertsville Technology Student Association went to Knoxville this past Saturday to compete in the regional competition. In that, they took 11 trophies, which is a significant number, two more than last year. Of those, we had six first place, two second place, and three third place. The first place placers were Energy Sources Team 2, Inventions and Innovations, Medical Technologies, Problem Solving, Promotional Design, and Team 1 from Structural Challenge. And then we also took second place in Structural Challenge. Some of these we have two teams competing. So Career Prep, Audrey Christman took third place. Essays on Technology, Sophie Stanley took third. So it was an outstanding performance, and these kids were there without their primary advisor, Todd Livesey, and I think they were doing their very best to honor him as he was at home at his father's funeral. So I congratulate the Robertsville TSA, and that's my good news.
My good news also comes from Oak Ridge High School. Our congratulations to the Oak Ridge High School boys basketball team, who clinched the district regular season championship. And I don't want to jinx them, but in the district to this point, they are currently undefeated. A few more games remaining in the regular season, and then they will move on along with the Lady Wildcats, who are also having an outstanding season. I believe they're tied for first in the district at this time. So that's my good news from Oak Ridge High School. Ms. McLean.
My good news also comes from Oak Ridge High School. The National Center for Women and Technology Award for Aspirations in Computing honors young women at the high school level for their computing-related achievements and interests. Awardees are selected for their computing and IT aptitude, leadership, academic history, and plans for post-secondary education. This year, there were 11 state winners from Tennessee, four of whom were from our Oak Ridge High School. Olivia Bookout, Patricia Edu, Serena French, and Indigo Jackson. Patricia Edu was also one of 35 national winners for the 2015 Award for Aspirations in Computing, the first national winner from East Tennessee, and the second ever national winner from the state of Tennessee. All the winners are students of Keith Jackson, math and computer teacher and STEM coach at Oak Ridge High School. That's my good news, girl power.
Ms. Marshall.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have good news from Jefferson. We'd like to congratulate Jim Dodson, the art teacher at Jefferson, who's been appointed by Governor Haslam to serve on the Tennessee Humanities Board. So way to go, Mr. Dodson.
And that's just some of the good news that's taking place in the Oak Ridge schools. Next item on the agenda is called Just the Facts About Elk Ridge Schools. This is information about things that you might not know about the Elk Ridge Schools, or things that you need to know more about in the Elk Ridge Schools. Just the facts, the Education Foundation, the Oak Ridge Schools Public Education Foundation, is continuing its support of Oak Ridge Public Schools through its Making the Critical Difference campaign to raise $500,000 for grant awards of $100,000 a year for 5 years for all the schools. The grants program offers one-time grants to teachers for resources to enhance learning for students in pre-K through high school. Since 2005, the Education Foundation has awarded more than $568,000 in grants though meeting only one-third of the requests from teachers. The Education Foundation Board believes that these grants have a strong supporting role in sustaining the tradition of excellence in the Oak Ridge schools. The foundation, a nonprofit organization founded in 2000, invests in the Oak Ridge Public Schools to ensure the highest quality of education for its students. The foundation, providing funds beyond public tax dollars for education, raises funds through grants and private donations to invest in enhanced educational programming, innovative technology, and state-of-the-art facilities for teachers and students. For more information about making a donation to the Oak Ridge Public Schools Foundation, you may call Jessica Steed at the foundation office or see the foundation's website at www.orpsef.org. And once again, we are very appreciative of the support that we get from the Oak Ridge Foundation and all that they do to enhance education in our community. Next item on the agenda is the public forum. Public forum is for anyone in the audience who would like to address the board on a topic that is not on the board agenda. The board does not take action at this time, but may have questions and then may direct a superintendent to provide additional information or have you directed to the appropriate staff member. If you choose to speak, please sign your name and address at the podium, and then please state your name and address. You will have 3 minutes to speak. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the next item, and that is the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Eby. Any discussion or questions? All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, under items for action, the first item is the preschool building proposal. Dr. Borchers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll go ahead and switch screens here. I have a brief PowerPoint for this recommendation. Hopefully, we'll, there we go. As everybody knows, we've spent a lot of time.
Wait. Oh. Before you do that, you want to, let's get that, since it is an item for action, let's get that on the table as a motion.
Absolutely. I recommend approval of the preschool building proposal that you're just about ready to see.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
I move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby and seconded by Ms. Eagle. Okay.
Like I said, we have a brief presentation here. We've been working this issue very hard since last July, and I know many on this board and in this community have worked this issue for years and years prior to that. The main focus that I want to make sure we're all highlight again is that we want to make sure our kids are served in wherever they're at appropriately, and that we keep our grant in partnership with Anderson County. So I'm going to jump right into our recommendation. I won't read all of this, but I think the first recommendation I'll spend a little bit of time on. Given all of the factors, all of the moving parts of making a decision like this, I felt it was appropriate coming back to the board and to the city to provide a little bit more time to research some of these issues, and would request that the city fund and commit to a lead-based paint remediation project of the current preschool building. And then a commitment that would allow us to shore up our grant, meet our timeline with Anderson County, and buy us a little time, and I'll say a little time, to come up with a long-range plan. That long-range plan then gets into number two you see in front of you, and again, this is our recommendation, and I know City Manager and I will have discussions, and the City Council will be meeting later and talking about the recommendation this evening, but we would propose putting a group of people together, doing that quickly. I'd like to start as soon as possible, and as you can see in one of those bullets there, talk about getting into a facility in 16 and 17 and having the final plan. That last bullet, I think both the board and the council have heard this kicking the can down the road, and I think there's some history to that, so I think that's why people probably are concerned about this, and that's why having a set plan, a set parameter, set timelines on how we're going to look at moving out of this facility in entirety. We can come back to this slide, but our recommendations continue then. I still believe with the opportunity, with the possibility of the chamber being available in the short term, and our G building remodel, given hopefully in our ROTC program, and getting our central office staff near each other, are still viable and options that we need to have. I'm not sure if the chamber came available, who else we would ask to move into that property where we have two of our school buildings on, and it just makes sense, I believe, still, that the chamber would be the opportunity for part of our staff and then a remodel of the G building. And then, of course, number five there, and we've been talking about this over the last year, this joint CIP discussion. I believe we're moving down that road, but I think we need to just nail down the structure and the expectations for that review of CIP. Again, I talked about the chamber. I think it would be a perfect spot for our central office folks in proximity to the G building, as I talked about, on that campus. We've talked a little bit about the G building recommendations. We'd still have our alternative school there with addition of some of our central office staff. And the upstairs of that building is a great site for a future, hopefully, potential ROTC program. Moving forward, I won't read all these to you. This is more for our work, I think. But I think what I'll say here is, and then we can have some discussion, is I really feel as if we'll buy some time with this fix, and I think, as Mr. Watson said, kind of a last investment. Take some time then through some of these strategies to make sure our funding through Head Start and Anderson County is solidified. Mr. Foster and I have been having a lot of conversations, but then to really get into the weeds, I guess, on what that structure looks like moving forward. Timeline, of course, all of this will be up in the air. This is our suggestion for kind of moving forward. We know the City Council meets on the 9th, and we need to hit that March 4th date for Mr. Foster and to start that remediation work. There is some talk we could do that quicker, but our recommendation would be June, and then to talk about what type of process that we have moving forward. I'm going to go back to slide 2 because that's probably where we want to spend some time. But that's the brief presentation and recommendation for the board to consider.
A couple of comments that I have, and then I'll make one and then see if others do, and then I'll come back for the other one. I think it's important, and you alluded to this, I think it's important that we tie in with the direction of the preschool with options two or the additional recommendations which deal with the chamber building and the alternative school building or G building, that's all got to be part of the plan. We don't want to come back the next year and say, okay, we've got the plan and we're moving forward with the preschool. Now, what do we do about the administrative side? And then come back another time or the next year and say, well, we've done that. Now, how are we going to work in G building and et cetera, et cetera? It's all got to be part of that plan. And that's why it has, in my opinion, has to go to the city like this. So we don't find ourselves in a position where we're dealing with this issue in the years to come.
Absolutely. And I've been making statements. I believe, you know, we can't be so short-sighted either as just saying this is a G building, preschool, central office, because, you know, we have a lot of city buildings, and I would like us to consider when we start to look at these things that we look at all facilities. This is an important decade for Oak Ridge coming forward. We will eventually have some increased revenue with some of the great things on the horizon, but how we spend those dollars when they come in over this decade is going to make it'll be a big deal for the town of Oak Ridge to spend that money wisely.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I have some questions. When we met with City Council not long ago, one of the things that we brought up was the approval by Head Start of the plan for paint, and you know, the risk that is being that we would be taking on, that if we don't have that plan approved, we're assuming if we go this path, then we're assuming that Head Start will accept a remediation plan, but we don't have that approval. Is that correct?
That's correct. Mr. Foster and I and members of our team and Anderson County's team are meeting next Friday with a consultant that Mr. Foster and I agreed to help us write that plan. I think it would be very beneficial if we could have some indication from the City Council at the February 9th meeting so that we could go ahead and start writing that plan with some clarity.
Did we call Head Start, or is there anybody, I mean, do we have any indication that we feel pretty comfortable that they will accept this?
You know, we haven't had that conversation. I think that's going to be part of Friday's meeting when we all sit down together and determine how to write that plan. I feel comfortable that if we can get some of the things that we've recommended here, if we could get the city to say, yes, we're going to commit to this by this date, and if we can have that in writing, I think that gives us a pretty strong base.
Is there any way that we think that we could have a plan approved by Head Start without spending the $154,000 for the paint remediation?
I won't talk about cost because we still have to go out and get that bid,
or
but
whatever the
in our plan, we have to remediate that by the start of school. So whatever that cost is going to be, and in the city and Alan have been working closely on looking at this over the last week, but we do have to remediate that, and the approximation was $150,000.
Well, it really pains me to spend this money on this facility that we continue to, and you say we don't want to kick the can down the road, but I want to be sure that whatever we come up with, that we do have a firm plan that's agreed to that doesn't kick it down the road, because believe it or not, next year is another election year. And, people do different things during election years, and they seem to forget. I think the city this year voted overwhelmingly to support those of us who ran on a preschool, new preschool, fixing that, and I think the city wants that. So this probably is the only, plan that we have that we can go forward with, but I want some assurance that, by spending this money, we don't come down the road and say, oh, well, this paint now is going to last 5 years or 10 years, so we don't have to do anything for this for 5 years.
Right, and I think that is one of the worries that I know I hear and you all have lived. So having that plan, and I'll add one more thing, if I had a magic wand, as I talk with Mr. Thacker, if we could get some commitment to say, yes, we are going to be leaving the SAB and the preschool, and here's the date on when we think we can do that, that allows us to better use resources, time out our work. If we don't have that, we're in this standstill for a year or two. So if we can get the nod that, yes, this is going to happen, we can start looking at things like the G building, for instance, and spread out some of the cost and resources over that time period.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I guess that's where part of my question is. Can you help me understand the exact timing expectation associated with these? So if you ruled the world, right, if you were king of the world for a day,
right.
And believe it or not, the superintendent isn't, right?
Right.
So, but if you were, what would your dream be of when all this would happen based on this recommendation?
Yeah, well, hopefully on the 9th, and that's where I'll have more discussion with the city manager, that there is some clarity on, one, the commitment to the paint, and then, two, a commitment to timelines. We put 1617 there where our kids would be moving into a facility. So in the perfect world, that's where we would be, but that would give us 2 years then to plan, look at the plans for G building. We could then engage in conversations with the Chamber of Commerce to see if we could perhaps have a 2 or 3 year plan and spread that cost out over a few years rather than wait to the very end and then hit with all of that in 1 year.
Okay.
So that's all up for discussion, I think, but I think our first priority is having a place for our students FY 16-17 school year.
So you're conceiving of that move from this building all happening at the same time for all staff in the preschool, or?
It all depends on what those options are, on how much has to happen to get our kids into that place. Even when we were thinking originally of having a facility ready by March, we knew that we were going to have to spread out that transition. Kids would move first, maybe central office would move 6 months later. It will all determine on how much time we have, how much work has to be done, and schedule. So there's a lot of discussion we have to have there, but I think it's doable over 2 years.
And then, sorry, one more. The ROTC program, what's the status on that? Do we know that's kicking off in the fall, or
we are
any certainty around that?
Registering students with the hope that we're going to have the ability to offer the program. So we asked the high school staff which way would be easier for them to wait and then try to re-register students come late spring, or to put it out there right now, get the numbers, and then determine the funding sources for that. So some of that will occur. I think some of that discussion will occur at our February 12th retreat as well about budget priorities.
Ms. McClain.
If we start the ROTC program in the fall, do we have a place for them to be?
I think we have a place, but it might not be as nice a place as we'd prefer, but we will have a space for them. It's just we're going to have to put up with some things until we get some changes up there. But we do. Mr. Thacker, we do have space.
Okay. I think, and it's kind of echoing what has been said, I think the two sessions that we have had with City Council have been very productive. I think individual discussions with council members, as well as your discussion with the city manager, have been very productive as we move in this direction. And I think if we accept this recommendation and move forward with it, based on what we as a board have stated and what we as a board have heard from the council members in those two sessions and their support for the preschool program, and the seeing the need not only to move out of this facility with the preschool program, but also the ability to look on into the future at potential growth of the preschool program, I think this shows that as this board, by accepting this recommendation, if we do that, that we're willing to work with that concept of additional time, making the right decision, looking at all the options. But as we've heard each board member say, that this is not something that we're going to come back next year and have this same discussion. I guess the only way I know to say it is we're not going to be very happy if a resolve doesn't occur. So it is imperative that you come back to us after talking with the city manager and after council has an opportunity now to take this recommendation, if this is the direction we go, and say, okay, here is the plan, these are the dates, and this is what we are going to be working toward, and this is how we're going to get there. That just has to happen. Mr. Eby.
And let me also say that the reason that I support this is because I think it will allow us to look down the road where we want to be. I think that's what makes the most sense. I want to thank Sam Tate and the company that have put together their proposal on the property. I mean, they went out, put it out to bid. We followed the process. And were they the only bidders, Alan? And they have worked very, very hard to meet our needs, to meet our schedule. And, you know, I mean, we may be back to them when this thing is over. So I don't know how long your bid's good for. But, you know, that may be the best approach, and maybe we end up with a facility that we can go into now, and then we have one on the west end of town down the road so that we can meet both of them. I kind of, you know, that makes some sense. But I do believe that it's our responsibility to look at all the options right now, and I think if we can, you know, work together as a team with city council as we are, that people recognize that this is a very crucial decision and one that has to be made soon, we can work together and make that decision and do what's best for the city. And I think that's what we need to do, and I think that's what this option does for us, even though it costs us another $150,000 right now, or whatever the number is. And maybe we can find a, you know, that the paint, you know, you don't have to get a 10-year paint, you can get, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some options there.
Yeah, we, Mr. Thacker, like I said, was meeting with some of the city staff last week, and I think those conversations are happening right now. And should the city give that commitment, I think they'll be ready to go full speed ahead.
Another question. Mm-hmm. As we approve this, are we approving this as it stands, as it's written, to go as it is to city council, or do we have the ability to discuss revision? I guess, and here's where I am. Number one, number two make perfect sense to me. Number five makes sense. What I heard Dr. Borchers explain verbally, I didn't get from the bullets as they're presented here. I heard you asking for a commitment to find a new facility for the administration and recommending the Chamber of Commerce building. I heard you recommending that we prioritize space for the ROTC and recommending G building, but that would be on a timeline negotiable with the city over time, that we don't have to do everything all at once. I don't know that that's clear the way this is written. And I think what you have said verbally makes absolute sense. I'm wondering if there's some ability to clarify with some detail here that perhaps might help our city council understand exactly what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, if there are suggestions, I know we've talked about this quite a bit, so we left some of that detail out, the prior detail that we did have in some of our work sessions, so we can go back and put some of that back in. But that's why we put these on the second page, because our immediate recommendations are one and two. I see three, four, and five as being determined as we get through one and two, if that makes sense to folks. I understand what you're saying, Ms. Marshall, is, you know, I'm not saying study this for a year, but hey, let's buy the chamber tomorrow. So I think that's kind of what you're getting at there. So I can make sure we have kind of like a phase one and a phase two, with phase two being a little more gray, because we got to get the first two done.
Okay, do we need to rewrite that in this forum, or do we need to send it back? And what's our process, Mr. Chairman? I'm unclear. Sorry, newbie question. Forgive me.
No. It's a perfect question. We can certainly right now change the language to fit this, because when it leaves tonight, it's going to be acted on, and whatever we act on is what will move forward to this council on February the 9th. So if you've got a recommendation or a proposal, by all means.
I'm writing. Give me a sec.
Okay. While she's doing that, comments from anyone? Ms. McClain?
Would it be possible for us to set forth specific dates where we say a decision has to be made? Because our history in this town is to put it off, and I'd like for us to say, okay, by July 1, we will know what we're going to be doing the following year, or pick a day that seems reasonable. I mean, if we're going to be building something, we need to know sooner than later.
We can do that. I think we weigh out the collaboration with the city, and I think a logical piece is here, you know, talking about benchmarks that are properly communicated. I see that as some of the work of this potential committee, where they would backwards map, okay, if we have to have a new facility by 16, now what has to happen in order to make that happen? I don't know if I'm prepared here to know what that date is, but it would be my assumption that that's what would happen in that meeting, so that we made all those timelines. And then, like it says here, provide those progress reports, make sure people know that we're going to be hitting that date.
And I think after, if this is the recommendation that we approve, after this goes to council for their approval, then I guess that's where I was going as well. At that point in time, it needs to come, those dates, that timeline needs to come back to us to say, here's what we're going to do, and then we need to approve that timeline or say, well, no, that timeline is 4 years out. We're not going to accept that timeline, or that timeline, based on the knowledge that we have, is acceptable. But I think that, and that's the point I was trying to make, I think that has to come back to us.
Let me address that, because going back to the Head Start issue, what we're addressing right now would take care of the lead paint, but I know we've talked about windows and other things. I mean, I would think that the program that we would present to the Head Start would also include, you know, what our plan is for the preschool for the future. And so I think based on that, we ought to set deadlines and say, you know, commit to Head Start for federal funding, et cetera. You know, we commit that we will have this paint done by this period of time. Students will be safe there, but we're getting out of this building by this period of time, and put that down as a commitment.
You know, we can, if need be, after that February 9th meeting, and I'm just speculating now, the city accepts that, and you've had a chance then to talk with the city manager after that has occurred, if need be, those dates could come back to us on February the 12th at our board retreat, and we could actually make that a special session for us at that point in time to approve those dates at that time. I mean, that gets it moving. And that, again, allows us to, just Mr. Eby, what you were saying, to tie this in with the Head Start information to say, okay, we're going to do this with the paint, but here's where we're going. And that could make a big difference overall. I agree. Are you ready? Okay. Can you get that?
All right. So let me give it a try. So we're really, and I guess this is in the spirit of, we're asking for a commitment from the city to a timeline for all of these things, right? So number three, we request the city make a commitment to eventual purchase of space for school administration building on a timeline to be negotiated. We recommend purchase of the Chamber of Commerce building for this purpose. Is that what I've heard? Okay. And then number four, we request a city commitment to provide further space for administrative support services, better defined alternative school program and the ROTC program. We recommend remodel of the existing ORHSG building on a timeline to be negotiated with the city. So does that provide clarity? I mean,
Would you go back and read the very first one again?
The very first one. We request a city commitment for the eventual purchase of space for school administration on a timeline negotiated.
Mm-hmm. Do we need to say the eventual purchase of space or land for construction purposes? I mean, when I hear space,
I don't think you do that. I don't think we're asking them to go out and find a space. I think you say we request a timeline or something like that, but recommend the purchase of the Chamber of Commerce building and put that down there. And that is our recommendation.
Okay, back to the first one, though. Read it one more time for me.
A city commitment to eventual purchase
of the Chamber of Commerce.
No,
okay.
That comes next, but this is...
Well, because I put two sentences in, I'm trying to give some, trying to make a recommendation without being instructive necessarily, but eventual commitment to purchase of space for school administration on a timeline to be negotiated. We recommend the Chamber of Commerce building for this purpose. And it's still too soft.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because what you're recommending is that they go out and find a space, and we're saying our preferred space is the chamber. Why wouldn't we just say we recommend that they give us a timeline to purchase the chamber building, and they can come back and say they don't want to purchase the chamber building, or if they want to offer some other thing else, we can. But it's our responsibility to select and to make our recommendations to council what we want them to do. Okay.
I understand.
We don't ask them what to do.
I'm clear. I'm with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you have that?
You do.
She's quick.
Who can read all of that again?
She can.
I don't know that I have the accurate notes now.
I think it's everything, but at the beginning, instead of saying space, you just say chamber of commerce.
I think we're just and verbalizing that we're asking for a commitment
and a timeline
and to a timeline
to purchase the G building, the modifications, and the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah,
I'm good. That's good. Yes.
Yes.
Other comments on that or questions? One from the audience. And while you're doing that, just so for clarification, so there's everyone's on the same page, the same procedure follows here as does during the public hearing. If you state your name and address, and then you have 3 minutes.
Sounds good. My name is Jessica Hill, and I live at 112 Tidewater Lane. I had a lot that I kind of wanted to say to you guys tonight because I am a parent of two kids here at the preschool. And I attended the first joint meeting, and I have to say, we came out of it really enthused and had a whole lot of hope because it seemed as both groups were really determined to work together to really better the schools. Everyone acknowledged that this building has outlasted its lifespan. There are numerous issues, even outside of the lead-based paint, and the kids deserve better. They really do. Nobody wanted a Band-Aid solution for this problem. And then we went to the second meeting, and the tone had completely changed to, it costs too much money. We need to figure out a better preschool program. And we were going to put one last investment. And as I'm hearing you talking tonight, it seems like this last investment may turn into next year's last investment on the windows. There needs to be something concrete. And I come here wishing that the members of the Board of Education and City Council could really see how much impact the preschool has. As one teacher recently told me, the preschool is a school. It's not a daycare. It's not a babysitting service. It's an actual school where students are being guided to reach their full developmental potential academically, socially, and behaviorally. I wish that you guys could all listen to the teachers tell what it's like to take a struggling child in and 2 years later send them to kindergarten ready and able to succeed. The teachers and staff educate some of the most at-risk kids in the city. Many of these kids are facing serious challenges in their lives, and the school building should not be an additional challenge. Parents should not be concerned about their kids' health and safety because of this school building. Today I'm asking you, don't undercut these kids' future by underplaying the importance of the preschool here. You should vote with the plan that best alleviates the health and safety concerns. And I see that the plan is to remediate the lead-based paint. But let's put it in writing and make it concrete that they will be out of this school at the end of next year. Don't let it turn into next year we come in and we say, well, City Council agreed to a plan, but we really think we need another year to study it. We've been studying this for 30 years. It's time to make a decision. I want you to vote against putting another Band-Aid on a gaping wound. And if you look around this building, expect more, achieve more. Making a world of difference. Stand up for Tennessee Public Schools. I want you to know that you're doing all of that with your vote tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. I just would comment, I don't think you would find anybody on this board that doesn't understand and appreciate the value of the preschool. I think the issue, and unfortunately this drives so many issues, is funding. if we had the magic gold end of the rainbow pot of money, there would be no question that the bulldozers would have already been here. But since we don't, we have to work collectively with our funding body, which is the city, to make this happen. And this is me speaking personally. To make it happen, I see this as our best option to make it happen. And I do agree, and I think that's where we're coming from here, is to say this is not going to be acceptable just to say, let's get a plan. This plan has to come back with concrete in it. If we don't, then it will be, again, my opinion, that both this board and city council will have let this community down. This is the time to make it happen, but I feel like this is the right way to make it happen. And I feel like since I have been on this board, this is the closest we've ever been to reality to have a new preschool facility. So that's what we're going to request and move forward with, Mr. Eby and then Ms. Eagle.
Yeah, I agree with what the chairman said, but let me also say this, is that I agree with you. The preschool is a great program that does great things for our students. Problem is, it only does it for 200 children. You know, I want, and I think what we hear, even the city council talking about, is there's an opportunity now, I think, to have a preschool for every 3- and 4-year-old in this city. And that is the opportunity that we have to grow the city, to bring in young families, and to present things to make our children better students and to make our city a better city. And so that's the reason I'm willing to put this off for 1 year, to do this remediation so that we have a concrete plan. I say we start when I was on the board in 1985, this was an issue. So nobody wants this any more than I do, but when we get it, I want us to have the right plan that's going to bring the city forward, and I think this gives us that opportunity. I think the city council we have is willing to work with us to make that happen.
Well, and just to revisit what the recommendation says, is we recommend that a deadline is set in order to allow for the preparation of a new facility for the school year 2016-2017. That means in July 2016, 1 year from this July, our preschool kids are in a different appropriate building.
Hi, I'm Fernanda Forder, 921 West Outer Drive. So I'd like to start off by reiterating the reason why we moved here. We moved here for the schools. So schools for us is just an incredibly important part of our family. My husband's an educator. My son just turned into an educator. He just graduated, so a real big deal. So I just have one real big concern, actually two big concerns. Number one is there's a history that precedes when we moved here that there was a gentleman's agreement that fell through, and I am concerned that maybe there isn't something that's more legally binding, that this agreement is something that can perhaps change in the future. So my first question is, number one, is there some sort of agreement with the city that is legally binding? That is, once the remediation is done, the city then agrees in some way that this will be done, and not just, well, we fixed the paint, it's a 10-year paint, kick the bucket down the road, sorry, there's no money. You know, we just saw that the foundation just gave money to the schools to pay what things that essentially went to debt. And so we don't want that to happen, to sort of, there's no money anymore. The second question that I have is, I haven't heard yet from the three meetings, so my husband attended the other two meetings, and I'm attending this one. I've yet to hear what happens when everything goes wrong. So let's do a scenario, a calculation of, Head Start does not accept the remediation plans. City does not accept giving up or buying the building, right? Buying the chamber building. There isn't enough space for the preschool elsewhere. What happens when all of these things that we're recommending goes wrong? Where do we go from there? I think we need to hear what happens then. Have we thought about it? The risks associated with things not happening. Thank you.
Let me just, thank you. Clarify one thing. The purchase of the chamber building has no impact on the preschool plan. That is something that's down the road and would be part of a plan, but not until after the preschool plan has been developed. So we don't, I don't want to tie that in with getting, it's part of it, but we if the city came back and said, great, we're going to do this, but we'll only support the preschool plan, that's going to take us forward. We'll figure out what to do about that situation next. That would be a discussion item. Okay, so that's not tied in together, but it is part of the plan of what we need to do down the road totally. Okay, if Head Start were to say that doesn't work, then Anderson County would have our preschool students. That would be the, if you're asking for the what if worst scenario, that's what would happen.
I just have a question. My understanding is that if they don't accept this, our kids aren't going to Anderson County. Anderson County doesn't have to take the Oak Ridge kids into their preschool program. Is that correct?
Head Start. It would be the Head Start, correct?
Yeah, you know, and I really want to turn us back to the focus. You know, our recommendation tonight is how to move forward in the most successful way. And I know there's some angst and some worry there, but that's why there have been many discussions, Mr. Foster and myself. We feel as if this plan can be remediated. We feel very good about Head Start accepting that. That's why we're meeting with a consultant that is termed a guru of Head Start. We're doing everything we can to ensure that we get that Head Start grant. We have talked about worst case scenario, lots of discussions, but I don't think that's something that is really the part of this recommendation. We're trying to get to a point of what's going to give us the most success for the kids and Head Start students of Anderson County. And I think this is our best effort, our best chances. I think it's been said a lot tonight. I think we've got a great relationship with council and board and Mark and myself, and I do feel as if we're going to get something to happen.
Mr. Eby.
If the worst did not happen, you know, I mean, did happen, and for some reason they did not take that plan, we would have a reasonable indication of that after your meeting with the consultant, how he feels about that, right?
I think that's where we'll get our first indication of, yes, I think this is a solid plan. Go ahead, submit.
And so I think that will gain us confidence. But going back, and I think she's got a very good point. You know, you got to think about adverse consequences and what happens if you have that adverse consequence. I will just say this, and I can't speak for the other board members, but I would do everything in my power to find a place for us to be able to have our preschool students. You know, unfortunately, they may get split up if we had to do that. But, you know, I'm not going to let preschool go away. I don't think anybody in this board or in the city will want that. So we will, I mean, it will be all out to make sure that that does not happen. And if it does, we'll find something to make it work. So we'll give our pledge to that.
Okay, the motion on the floor is to accept the superintendent's recommendation for the preschool building proposal. All those in favor as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda, board policy section 5. This is a second reading. There were changes recommended to a number of policies. You have those changes listed in your information, and they were specified by what changes needed to be made and what the changes were. Dr. Borchers, yep. I will go to you for a recommendation.
Yep, Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy Section 5, second reading.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Eby. Comments, Dr. Borchers?
As you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Lee has come up with kind of a cover page, if you will, of the changes that we left with. We believe we hit all of those suggestions and had all the discussions that the board recommended, and you're seeing that cover sheet in front of you.
Yeah, just a question. I believe one of the follow-ups was to go back to the Education Association or the Teachers Organization. Were there any follow-ups from that conversation?
There were lots of discussion, Mr. Reddick and Mr. Haygood with Dr. Lee, and those discussions. I don't know if Mr. Reddick, if you want to say anything, but go if you'd like to.
Well, we actually remembered that a couple of years ago we'd actually had a discussion about especially Section 5.9, as a result of the state legislature voting to pull away from collective bargaining and move to collective or collaborative conferencing for those systems that negotiate salaries. It's been probably 2-3 years ago. It was when Dr. Bailey was still here. We had this discussion with Chuck Cagle and Larry Giordano, the school board, school attorneys, and at that time, the language in Section 5.9 was changed by the board, taking out OREA's name from the policy and inserting more neutral language, any professional organization, or however it's worded, any recognized teacher organization. But what we found out was that language had not been changed on the school board website. The website still had the old language. We double-checked, because I just knew in the back of my mind that it didn't sound right. I knew it had been changed, so I talked to Dr. Lee, and she checked with the TCA, Tennessee Code Annotated, and in fact, and also got with Lynn and found the minutes from the meeting in question. And so the language that is now there is language that was put in a couple of years ago, and probably with some TSBA-type language as well. So we've looked it over. I asked her if she wanted me to do a proofreading for the entire section, and she said, don't even think about it. So, we also had a question about release time for officers within the association, and we checked with Larry Giordano on that. She did, and so it now reflects what the current TCA interpretation is. So I think we're good to go. She told me that Dr. Lee said that she would let teaching staff know of any major policy changes within this section as far as bringing us into compliance with state law and TSBA, and because I asked her, is there anything major that I didn't catch comparing the old with the new, and she said not that much, nothing that substantive. So, okay.
Anyone else? Motion on the floor is to approve Board Policy Section 5 on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 2015-16 calendar revision. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of a revision to the 15-16 calendar and changing the last student day to an early dismissal day.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Go ahead.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
This is simply just putting in writing what has been past practice. We've been doing this for a long time. We just haven't changed our calendar. So someone approached Dr. Marzak, and he has made this suggestion because it was brought to him by a staff member.
Comments or questions? Motion is to approve the revision to the 2015-2016 calendar and changing the last student day to an early dismissal day. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is Board Policy 4.501, School Volunteers. Dr. Borchers.
I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.501, School Volunteers, reflecting additional requirements.
For the superintendent,
excuse me.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
What we're doing with this, and we've had a couple people make the catch here, we've been reviewing countless numbers of policies. Dr. Lee just the other day said how much she enjoys this and the rest of staff. But we missed this one in review. Some of us are so new, we don't remember some of the work that's been done prior to us coming here. And this board knows that you guys put a lot of time into the volunteer policy a couple of years ago. So we're getting rid of what we passed in Section 4, and what you have back in front of you is the Section 4, the volunteer policy you worked on a couple of years ago, with one additional sentence because there's a new law that became apparent in the last 2 years. So that's all you're seeing here differently.
Questions? Mr. Eby.
Yeah, it's the part that is highlighted. I want to make sure I understand. Although volunteers shall serve without compensation, but shall be insured by the board against loss or damage in the performance of their duties. So whose loss or damage? Is it if the volunteers cause loss or damage to the schools? Is that if something happens to the volunteers? I'm just trying to understand what we're talking about here.
I think the reference is to any loss to the people, to the volunteers. We have a liability, Karen, don't we, to things that happen to people on the school grounds. And while they're volunteering for us, they would be covered under our general liability.
And this is one of the additions from TSBA.
Yeah, that was an addition that TSBA had in their template policy that we did not address. I think our focus when we revised the policy was a lot different. It was more on how we wanted our volunteers to work for us, and specific requirements with children was more our focus.
Other questions or comments? The motion then is approval of Board Policy 4.501, School Volunteers. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is emergency replacement of the Robertsville Middle School cooling tower. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval to replace the Robertsville Middle School cooling tower at a cost of $40,063.29. You can see the attached memo detailing the circumstances surrounding this emergency purchase.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Thacker has all the details in that memo. There really isn't anything we can do about this. We lost heat at Robertsville, and this is the fix that has to occur to make that whole again.
Questions from the board?
Question. I noticed to pay for this, the funds are going to come out of our contingency fund. Is this typically what would have been funded through the improvements fund or the capital maintenance fund?
This particular item would not have been a typical CIP replacement. This was a damage due to freezing of the coils. So this was actually a contingency item.
Okay. Is it anything that then, if it was damaged because of the freezing, anything that we could have expected, or we could have taken any preventive maintenance that might have prevented this from happening?
We actually went through all of our systems prior to the 2 to 3 days that we had the temperatures in the teens, and this did not show up as an issue. What we had is the freeze protection system on this uses certain valves that will crack open a little bit and allow some of the water from the boiler to circulate through the cooling tower to keep it from freezing. Those valves failed, and that's part of the replacement is to replace the valves and the programming for that as well, so we can put that freeze protection back in place.
Do we have this on any other similar cooling tower coils?
We actually have two others, and we've checked those out, and those are all working properly.
Thank you.
Motion is to for emergency replacement of the Robertsville Middle School cooling tower. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is budget transfer of funds. This is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the transfer of funds detailed on the attached information, and it is the second reading.
I've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Was that Ms. Marshall or yes, by Ms. Marshall? Dr. Borchers.
Again, second reading. We covered this early January and hoping to make this transfer. And again, Karen's been doing a great job of watching what's happening on a monthly basis. And this came out of our retreat earlier this year to do this mid-year review.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, the motion is for approval of FY Budget Transfer 2, Transfer of Funds, second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, we move to items for information. First item under that item is coding.
Mr. Chairman, we've got Mr. Keith Jackson, who's probably going to come forward here and get set up. It was fitting that in our good news, we were talking about some of our students doing a great job in coding. Mr. Jackson's been key to spreading the word on coding. He did that at one of our staff professional development days, and it's really kind of caught storm and across the district. And we were just talking prior to this presentation that we had Ms. Fiquet here a few weeks back, and I was visiting Lyndon again last week, and she is just amazed at how young these kids are and what they're able to do. So I'm going to let Keith take it away and share, sir, some of the great things that they're doing at the high school as well. Keith.
Well, I want to talk to you about what's going on at the high school, but not only that, but what's going on in all the schools around the district. And the first thing I'm going to kind of answer is, why do we teach computer science in the schools? And I've got two answers. First answer is, that's where jobs are. In 2010, every 10 years, the Bureau of Labor Statistics does a projection for the next 10 years. So 4 years ago, they found that we're kind of in trouble with how many computer science graduates we have compared to the amount of jobs. So if you look at this PowerPoint, first of all, that's a terrible PowerPoint. As a computer teacher, you would never do that. But the most important part is the big purple area. One-third of all jobs, this is a projection for the year 2020, one-third of all jobs that require a bachelor's degree would be under the computer science umbrella, which makes sense because technology affects every field. I would actually challenge you to find a profession that does not use a computer. It's really hard to think about. 67% of software jobs are outside of the tech industry. This is not just Google or Microsoft that's hiring. It's banking, retail, government, entertainment, all the way through. And here's where the crisis came in. We all know that jobs are going to be in STEM jobs, but they project that 60% of those STEM jobs will be in computing. Compared to right now, only 2% of majors, only 2% that are working on their bachelor's are in the computer science field. 98% are in all the other math and sciences. So what that equates to is by the year 2020, 1.4 million jobs and only 400,000 computer science graduates, which is a million unfilled jobs, $500 billion opportunity that we're leaving. And these jobs are well paid. This is from 2010, Bureau of Labor and Statistics. The median salary of a software developer, it was very close to six figures, all the way down. And this was pretty good. I got an email last year from Barb Erickson, a good friend of mine at Georgia Tech who does computer outreach, and she sent the statistics on computer science graduates from Tech. Computer science graduates had the highest median starting salary of $85,000. The next closest was chemical engineer at 72. They had the two highest single offers of $130,000 and $110,000. That means coming out of college with a four-year degree, there was a kid that was making $130,000 and one making $110,000. Number three was one I found the most surprising. They had the highest low offer of $59,000. The dummy in the class graduated, came out making $59,000. And they had the second highest offer rate of 93%. When they walked across the stage, 93% of them had a job lined up, only second to industrial engineering. And not only are they well-paying jobs, these are people that love their jobs too. And here's one major problem. Studies have shown that kids will not go into majoring computer science unless they have taken a AP computer science in high school. Only 5% of the high schools in the U.S. offer AP computer science. Past 2 years, I've averaged about 40 students, and I can't find another school in the state that has that many, or even close to it, which is actually pretty sad. And of that 5%, only 15% are girls, and only 8% are African American or Hispanics. So I recruit students. I go around to all the classes, and I recruit. I recruit girls, and I talk to them. I want to know why they're not wanting to take computer science. And there's one common reason, and that's intimidation. Many of them are intimidated. They think that computer science, the classes, the careers, are only for geeky white boys. So Patricia Adu, the thing. I was after her for a couple years. You need to take this class. She's smart. She's in calculus. And she was intimidated to take the class. So, I guess one way we stop that is we start early. The Hour of Code. Every elementary student in Oak Ridge did an hour of coding this past December. And I went down and helped, and I'll tell you the truth, kindergartners are not intimidated. First grade, they are not intimidated. They did the code. And what was even more surprising that throughout this is that entire week, every single elementary teacher changed their schedule, which is not easy to do, and they don't like doing. But they did it not because anyone mandated it. The state didn't mandate that they do this. No level administration mandated they did it, but they did it because they know what's best for the students. And here's Patricia and Olivia working with some of the students, which we had many, many volunteers that come in and helped. And Glenn Wood was awarded $10,000 from code.org for new technology. And I hear rumor that they plan on putting this in as a normal, not just one time a year, but throughout the year, so that all kids can learn to code. Now, we do know that all kids aren't going to grow up to be computer programmers. But I believe every student should learn it because of what it teaches. Critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, communication, the four C's of 21st century learning is learned through coding. And then my favorite is persistence. I went down as they were doing it. I watched kindergartners work in these puzzles and actually getting frustrated, being challenged, but throughout the entire day, I never saw a single student give up. They worked on it, they were challenged, they stayed persistent throughout the entire time. And then one other thing too, is I don't believe that computer science coding is a side curriculum. This is something that could be incorporated in throughout. All lessons from code.org have been tied to ELA or Math Common Core standards. And then one other thing too, is if they're not gonna be a computer programmer, 5 major tasks of any job that have grown since 1960, working with new information and solving unstructured problems. I believe we need to teach our kids to be problem solvers. And then one last thing, this is Owen. Owen's a third grader at Woodland, and I got permission from his mom to show this. But Owen has trouble in class. He has trouble with the structured routine of a classroom. His mom tells me that she gets emails quite often from the principal. But I was going to show you. This is one of Terry Lloyd's students.
What's 36 times 36?
10 times.
Why 10 times?
Because 36 times 10 equals 360.
And why is 360 important?
Because as much degree in the circle.
That's how many degrees in a circle. Very good.
So when I talked to his mom, since he's been doing this, he's not had any discipline referrals for the last 9 weeks. And it, just really gets into it. And he's not the only student that does this. So I'm happy. I'm excited to see what's going to happen within the next 10 years as these elementary students move up to the high school and what's going to happen with computer science. Thank you all. Okay.
Don't go away.
Okay.
Questions or comments?
I was in the first class that studied computer science in Oak Ridge High School. Barry Fernandez was the teacher, IBM portrait, and we had, a 16, IBM 1620 that was bigger than that screen, took up about half of a room, and I think had 4K of space. And I look and see what our kids are doing now. It's just amazing. But you're right. It's going to change. The technology is going to continue to get change. And we got to get the kids when they're young so that they can be in better positions and have those jobs. Excellent. Good work. Good report.
Thank you.
And what we better also do is those kids that are this age, we better be ready for them as they move through our educational program. If not, then we get them started, and then we lose them along the way, and that's a disservice to them. So that's just another thing for us to tackle. But again,
that's a good problem.
That is a good problem. That is a good problem. And thank you for what you do for our kids. You do a great job with them. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, but don't go away,
okay.
Ms. Eagle.
Well, your comment on not having as many girls in the class brought to mind that one of our lab employees here, who is on the supercomputer, mentioned not too long ago that the majority of the original programmers were in fact women, and that it was sometime later that it, when video games came to prominence, that it became kind of a geeky guys thing. At the same time, you taught my daughter, she's now in engineering over at UT, and she'll tell any other girl, look, your odds are really good in engineering because I'm the only girl in most of my classes. So it can be a positive, and that's one way to recruit them.
You know, one thing. Well, one thing, over the past 10 years, that gap has actually widened. You know, and it's really like, you know, how do we tackle that? And I truly believe it is right here in the elementary. These girls are coding, and they don't know that they're not supposed to. They're going to come up believing that, yeah, they can do this, just like anyone else.
Well, the other advantage, and I've found this working with the Technology Student Association in middle school, I teach video game design. In sixth grade, they don't know it's hard, so they just do it.
Exactly.
Before Mr. Jackson steps down, I do want to reiterate that the whole code.org, the whole piece of this happening at the elementary school was because of Mr. Jackson and his presentation at a professional development day and passion for this area. So, Mr. Jackson, thank you for all you do.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'll tell you, it wasn't me. You know, I just did a small presentation, but it was really all of those teachers. You know, I was really shocked that they saw that this is something their students need, and they're going to try to do it, which tackling code is not easy, but they're planning on doing it, which is good.
As Mr. Jackson steps down, I also want to add in, we had a lot of community involvement in the buildings during that week, a lot of partnerships from right here, from our lab, from Y-12, so I want to thank all those people that came into our schools and participated in this as well.
All right. Next is the financial report. Any questions?
Just one. We're basically 6 months through the fiscal year. How are things going?
Just in looking at this in general terms, we're at 42% of our revenues collected and 41% of expenditures. So we're tracking a little bit behind 50% of the year. However, our main sources of revenue are current property tax and sales tax don't come in equal over the year month by month. So the next couple months of January and February will give us a better idea of how we're doing in that area. And we track the expenditures, you know, as we go. So I'm okay, but I'll know more in the next couple months.
Questions regarding the enrollment report? Okay, moving on down to items for discussion. One of the things that I had asked our new board members to do as they found time was to take a look at the policies that the board had reviewed prior to their election to this board. And this is one that was brought back by Ms. Marshall to get some clarification, questions, and some discussion on. So I'll defer to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did, as I was going back through, I had some questions around this particular policy. I think just wanted to drive some clarity because I believe what we have said in this policy is that if a parent deems and a student deem some content of a course within our school system objectionable, they can opt out of that content. And truthfully, I don't question a parent's autonomy and their ability and their right to do that. I guess I'm just trying to understand the full potential impacts of that choice on our part. Because as I think through that, so I try to run things out scenario-wise. How big is the magnitude of that? Because my concern is if we give that privilege or that ability to a parent and student, and then that information that they have opted out of, we're accountable for, that student's accountable for, and then we as a school system are accountable for in some measurement tool, that teacher's accountable for that. Are we putting ourselves in a position where we're signing up for something on their behalf that perhaps we don't intentionally sign up for? So I guess, can you help us understand magnitude, and are we really comfortable with that? And I guess it's just a question. Obviously, there's some comfort with it. It was approved before, but I guess I'd just like more understanding.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and your question was some of the questions that were asked as well as we were going over that policy. So it just didn't slide on by those. So you're right on target. Dr. Borchers?
Yeah, I was going to say it was a good question. I learned some things as I made some queries out to our secondary schools, and I pass that information on to Ms. Marshall. I'll just go through. It's mainly a secondary issue, so I polled both the high school and two middle schools. What I got back from the high school was, all in all, it's not very common, would even say it's rare. Maybe once a year or once every other year they'll have a student do this, and that talk about impact on achievement, what I heard back was has little to no impact on student end of the year test results at the high school. At Jefferson, they said usually no more than two students per year request that, usually out of teen living, but not that big of an issue at Jefferson. And then at Robertsville, kind of the same thing, human development portion of teen living, but there they said lower than four or fewer students per year opt out of that. So as Ms. Marshall and I talked, you know, I really didn't know either. Were we talking five or were we talking 55? And I think what we found out was it's fairly rare, and with again, the words from our secondary principals, little to no impact on end-of-the-year test results. But I think moving forward, it's appropriate. You know, a lot of our administrators are gone at an RTI training that we watch that. You know, and if there's something happens in standards or curriculum that changes that, bumps that number for some reason, that they make us aware of that.
Comments or questions from the other board members?
And just a thank you very much for the follow-up. And
okay, moving on, old business, new business. I want to mention that we are, as a board, we'll be renewing the process for Board of Distinction between now and April. On March the 2nd, which we'll be having, I think that will be our next board meeting, actually. March the 2nd, we will have board members from other boards that will be here to evaluate this board and the process that we go through as we conduct our meetings. And one of the other things we will be doing is a self-evaluation. And you have already received, I think, an email from Mr. DiGregorio, who just can't stay away from us, so he decided to return tonight to be part of this meeting. But he has agreed, as he had in the past, to tabulate the results and get that information back to us. What we have to decide, and I'll be talking with Dan and Dr. Borchers as we move forward with this, there are two parts to the self-evaluation. Part A is where we evaluate the process that we as board members go through in several different areas. And then Part B is tied into the superintendent's evaluation, not tied into how we evaluate him, but how we as a board reflect on what his goals are that we evaluate him on. So we'll have to decide. We definitely will do Part A coming up on in March, early March. We'll do that, or toward the end of February. We'll get that done. That will be sent out to you. And then we'll have to decide, as you set forth, whether you will continue with the seven keys as part of your evaluation process on down the road, if that's what we've got to look at too. So we'll make that decision.
I just got to thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for our evaluation for the last year, right, Dan? Since last time we did it. And we have two new board members who just came on in November, and obviously we would like to have their assessment of how they would evaluate us after a couple of months, and now that they're fully trained, I guess I presume the orientation, y'all did that, have that evaluation. But I think it would also, if you're okay, that we might ask our two outgoing board members if they would also participate in the evaluation since they served for most of that year. What do you think
about
that?
We can do that. Yeah. We can do that, I think.
I think that would be helpful.
She won't, I will have to throw this out. This has nothing to do with anything other than I ran into Ms. Richter, and she wanted me to inform each of you that since she doesn't have anything to do on Monday nights now, she's joined a bowling league. So she's staying busy. But I'm sure they would be glad to do that. Okay. Under communications, let me point out that we do not have a regularly scheduled board meeting in February. Because of that, we will have two board meetings in March, then the next one being March the 2nd. Coming up in February, on February the 4th, Ms. Agle will be hosting Focus on Education. And on February 9th and February the 10th, board members will be participating through the PTO, PTSA, holding conversation on education, where board members and superintendent and staff we started this last year, go to the various schools and have an opportunity for community members whose children attend those schools to be there to ask us questions, and a good time for interaction and conversation about education in Oak Ridge. On February the 9th, we'll be at Oak Ridge High School. And on February the 10th, we'll be at Robertsville. On February the 12th, the board will be holding a half-day retreat, basically directed toward the budget, but there'll be a couple of other items that will be on that agenda as well. And if you didn't know this, I think probably each one of you on the board received a phone call or an email. I would point out this is School Board Appreciation Week, and I would like to take the opportunity to thank my colleagues on this board for your time and your dedication, but most of all, what you do in support of our students and staff in this community, and to know that from this chair, you're very much appreciated.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, you beat me to the punch here. I'd like to read what TSBA put out for the School Board Appreciation Week. Just a minute here. I'd like to thank each of you for your dedication to the children of Tennessee. School systems are the backbone of our communities, and you devote countless hours to making sure our students receive a first-class education and an opportunity for success. You spend time studying the issues and regulations and make the tough decisions when called upon. School board members provide the type of accountability people expect. You provide a vital service to the community and should be proud of what you have done to improve Tennessee's public education system. Your voluntary service makes a difference in the lives of all Tennesseans and, of course, all of Oak Ridge students and families. So thank you, school board, for what you do, and I know there are many out there that would love to express their appreciation.
Thank you. Any other? Before we adjourn, I would like to recognize members of the Anderson County Board of Education that are in attendance tonight. We thank you for coming, and we appreciate working with you as our paths cross at various TSBA functions throughout the year, and we appreciate what you all do for education in Anderson County as well. So thank you very much for coming tonight. And unless there's something else from the board, we're adjourned.